And this time on Culture File, does 5G feature a pause button? Shannon Mattern, Professor of Anthropology at New York's New School, specializes in media and design and has recently been studying the fog of words around 5G mobile internet technology and its promise of what Professor Mattern calls a datafied dream world. She spoke at TCD earlier this week, along with Linda Doyle, Professor of Engineering and the Arts, about why technologists might want to make time and space to broaden their thinking about the future. Desire is the big part of it. What is it that we want from 5G and how did we end up wanting that is some sort of a question.
I'm not sure that we really want the things that 5G is selling to us. Really, in many cases, it's driven by what technologists are able to make. And a lot of engineering, no offense to engineers, a lot of their work is kind of driven by what is possible technologically, essentially. And then in some cases, you, after the fact, develop a use case for it. And I'm not sure that this drive for better, bigger, faster is really always offering tangible benefits for the public in many cases. I'm not sure that it's a universal desire to have all of the things that the marketing images are selling us. There are plenty of communities, both large and small, who are raising concerns, asking questions, identifying potential risks, for instance. One of them is related to public health. Most of the folks, I would say the majority of people, regard the public health concerns as groundless fears. That said, there have been some credible publications who have issued essentially literature reviews of the existing research about millimeter waves, 5G technology, who have said that it would be best for us to have more research and research that is not influenced by telecom funding. That's the issue with a lot of the scientific health-based research about millimeter waves and most telecommunications potential impacts for public health, is that the research is often funded by the telecom companies themselves. So it's a healthy degree of skepticism that leads people to prefer to have fewer vested interests involved in this research that is kind of making claims about what impact technology will have on their bodies. But the public health is only one of the dimensions of concern that people have raised. Others are related to concerns about, because 5G waves are a bit more, I guess we could say, fragile. They run into lots of obstacles, bodies, rain, weather, buildings, all kinds of things can essentially impede them. We have to install small cells a lot more frequently, which means there's going to be a lot more physical hardware in our everyday environments. That has raised concern, not only for the public health issue, because you're going to have waves emitted all around you all the time, but also concerns about just the encroachment on public space.
The most kind of pervasive issue that a lot of people are waking up to is, who is taking control of this? And then who is the main beneficiary of all the data that you will currently be producing? And everybody's reading the Zuboff book and finally getting worried about it. But it seems like the technology of 5G would escalate or accelerate that development.
Right. Is 5G actually helping us to create a world that we want to create? An increasingly datafied world where the infrastructure is perhaps, in a most positive scenario, used to democratically distribute information, to make public health possible, to allow for the education of people in the outback or the remote regions of the world. These are the utopian scenarios that have been not only germane to 5G, but we've also said the same thing about 4G. And about the telephone itself, and about radio, and about print books. You know, every time there's a new technological revolution, quote unquote, we kind of trot out a lot of these same dreams over and over again. But we do have to wonder if an increasingly surveillance-intensive, a world of surveillance capitalism, to use Zuboff's term, is really one we want to create. And 5G offers an infrastructure that really lends itself well to the creation of a world like that.
You were talking in TCD to a group which featured a lot of engineers. How did they respond to your worries and your suggestion that a pause button might be installed?
Well, I was actually quite nervous about speaking to a lot of engineers because I typically speak to people who are, I guess, on my side of the more critical-oriented approach to technology. Although I do work with a lot of artists who work primarily with technology, but most of their artistic work is really offering a kind of a helpful critical framework. There's a lot of discussion kind of on a global scale about a lot of computer science, data science, engineering programs, really starting to think about what it would meaningfully mean to implement ethics and justice concerns. So not just considering what can the technology allow us to do but to pause, again, to use that term, before you put it out in the world to think about what are the possible intended, and then if we really dig, think and imaginatively, what are the potentially really negative unintended consequences of this thing if we roll it out into the world? There were a couple who of the engineering faculty who came up to me afterwards and said, like, what have we done wrong? Why does nobody understand what we're doing? I think they were hopefully not offended, but maybe a little bit disappointed to hear that in my review of what other folks are thinking and saying about 5G, that there is such a what they regarded as paranoia, and they seem to think it was unfounded paranoia, rooted in part in that they just didn't understand how, that's how the technology worked. That was the one concern, a repeated concern, that granted, that I did hear from a few of the engineering faculty.
If computer scientists and engineers were to have a kind of an ethical approach, where would they get it from? Say, take in your own discipline the kind of ethical underpinnings of anthropology. Is there something useful there, or where would they find the tools they need to think that way?
Well, what some schools are doing, and I don't teach in an engineering school. As I said, I teach with a lot of kind of creative technologists and programmers. What I think is really helpful for them is to work with people whose disciplines have that. And this is not to say the technologists and engineers do not have their own form of criticality, of course. But we have seen in recent years many cases where we've had a lot of public blow-ups, essentially. And we've had companies like Facebook and different infrastructure companies essentially had to backtrack and realize that perhaps they should have been more circumspect in the way they have policed or regulated or monitored the activity in their services, for instance. So rather than having to reach that crisis point and then backtrack, maybe we need to implement into a lot of these technological training programs or university programs more meaningful considerations of historical examples of what can and can't go wrong, or the theoretical insights from philosophy of technology, science and technology studies, which is a huge and really rich discipline that has a lot to offer to practicing technologists and engineers. Actually, last night in the discussion after my presentation, Linda had mentioned that in her engineering training, there was one kind of critical historicizing class that they took that they called pejoratively the talkie class, where it felt like just essentially shooting the breeze, essentially thinking kind of speculatively about what they're doing, that they didn't really see the utility of it until they actually got into practice years later. And maybe even after some mistakes were made in their practice, when they realized, maybe I should have taken more seriously that talkie class. Maybe it was actually much more meaningful, that is, than how it seemed to me when I was 18 or 19 years old.
Professor Shannon Matten there, Professor of Anthropology at the New School for Social Research, New York, at TCD's Connect Research Center in Dublin this week.